Good afternoon. So this morning we looked at it was said that the Buddha taught a vast array of teachings, and all of these teachings were motivated by his wish to guide sentient beings to develop within themselves a state freed of suffering, a state of lasting, stable happiness, to attain a state that is liberated from suffering, and then go even beyond that and attain full and complete enlightenment. And in order to bring this about, the Buddha taught the full and complete path that leads to the result of enlightenment. So he taught what is meant by suffering, and then he taught what the causes of suffering are. Thereafter, he taught that suffering can be abandoned, and he taught the method for abandoning suffering and its causes. And how does one go about destroying all the causes that lead to suffering? This is through developing the wisdom realizing emptiness. And in particular, if that mind then is conjoined with the mind of bodhicitta, then the exalted goal of enlightenment itself is possible. And then, as we saw in the verse this morning, the intelligent or the wise, they have come to know this, they've come to understand this with great clarity. So they are freed of doubts and only have conviction. And this has come about in dependence on both knowledge and experience, and therefore they're applying themselves to attain the state of enlightenment itself. So the advice from Lama Tsongkhapa in this verse was, for us to attain a state freed of suffering, we need to realize emptiness. And to do so, we should train just like all the bodhisattvas in the world, have them as our example to emulate. If we train like them, we will achieve that result. And then we spoke mostly this morning in how to train like them to develop the wisdom directly realizing the emptiness of inherent existence.
Sanji Koma Tobala, Tony to be shared at Jajusim Niga Yamlin Chekogore, Jazada, Jajusim Yamlin Chekwadi, and the Tishu was shared that Tony or Tambo Sam Tanadi, Nambo, Ni Casore, Coralia, Corre Dungalia, Gunta, Corre Dungali, Sam Tang Gunta, Dayton, you Corre Dungadi, Yukali Chundusene, and Nyomo Palatin Jungora, Segulia, Sam Tang, the Nigi Gudia, Ma Sibanga Rashing Tupa.
As was mentioned this morning, in order to attain the exalted goal of enlightenment, one needs the wisdom realizing emptiness conjoined with the mind of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment. And this morning then we looked in detail at the meditation that one needs to engage in order to develop this wisdom that realizes the emptiness of inherent existence. And we divided the meditation into the sequence of steps to be meditated on, starting with meditating on suffering, coming to gain great clarity on suffering, not on both a course, but in particular on subtler levels. And that was then followed by a second step of having come to see, understand clearly what suffering, what is meant by suffering, we look for the cause. And we see here in the second step that the cause is our various afflicted minds. And then on the third step, we take this a bit deeper to what is the root cause, what is the cause of those afflicted minds. And that is the ignorance of self-grasping. So in these first three steps, we're seeing this dependency that the result of suffering comes from a cause, which is the afflicted mind, and that cause itself is also a result coming from the cause of the ignorance of self-grasping. And then the fourth step of the meditation was to firstly see, so this ignorance of self-grasping grasps at a self. What kind of self is it grasping at? And here we came to see how the self appears, and then we went through the steps to investigate, to seek out that self, to see does it exist in the way that it appears or not. And this process of analysis is what we spent most time looking at this morning. This morning's meditation was presented in a correct sequence, in a sequence that that needs to be engaged in. One needs to engage in that sequence. Now we come to the companion mind to wisdom, which is that of bodhicitta. So this too I'm going to present in a particular sequence, the sequence of stages of meditation that we need to engage in order to generate bodhicitta within our own continuums. The first step of the meditation is the same first step as we heard in this morning's meditation. The first step of the sequence in order to attain bodhicitta is to reflect on the faults of samsara, to reflect how cyclic existence is pervaded by suffering, and doing so to give rise to the wish to be freed from the suffering nature of, to be freed from samsara, to attain liberation. So the first step of this meditation is the same first step as we heard in this morning's presentation.
Tarbi kofang top charge and di jela
These two meditations have a similar starting point, or the same starting point, on reflecting on the sufferings of cyclic existence. But there is a divergent paths, or two differing paths, that the practitioner chooses to go on. And why are there these two choices? Well, it depends on the type of person the meditator is. Because the realization of bodhicitta, or in order to realize bodhicitta, one needs a particularly courageous mind, a mind of great strength. And this is because of the tremendous responsibility that comes with the giving rise to the mind of bodhicitta. So the one choice is that the practitioners engage in is they do the meditation sequence as we heard this morning, reflecting on the faults of cyclic existence, giving rise to a wish to be freed of even the subtler levels of suffering, investigating the causes of suffering, gaining great clarity that it's these afflicted minds that keep us bound in cyclic existence, with their root cause, the ignorance of self-grasping, and then engage in the meditation on selflessness or emptiness, as we heard this morning. So that's lineage of practitioner will follow that path with the understanding that once they have attained freedom from suffering, they will then meditate on love and compassion and bodhicitta. So they'll be wanting to enter into the paths, such as the paths of accumulation and preparation and so forth, of the hearer and solitary realizer type practitioner. So this meditator is of a type or of a lineage that sees their own need for freedom from suffering as primary. Thereafter, they will develop the mind of bodhicitta. But first, they want to attain liberation.
Dile tu yang semju cer ligirwa, jisu ki tangbo tarpa toya ki tanda koyu dunga samda, di dunga kyuji ane nyomong pada di samda, na jiba shuwa samda, jiba che. Di nige samda anje, ane koyu ki tarpa toya ki dundu nyer che, ane doni ki samda. Ani di jela kasore chintane chik chimba chujun sube nyamnen chaya du da pene tiamengi cholamru cholamru topsakirwa da cholamru topsane dini xine odad ya ani jamnyi chiki samdu ya du loor masona du loo chaya geche jamnyi chiki samda che ya tarpa matoba che tarpi lamla ya madoa che dini jamnyi chiki gom che gomba yungguri es dini su tarpa topmogo che 대지대 다 타바 톱노마도 공을 단 디바라들 양 타바 마토 봤지 아니 예 교화 다지 잠니지 삼다지
네 before I say we can listen now I just missed out one bit in the sequence from this practitioner we were just speaking about so they get engaged in the meditation sequence that was mentioned culminating the meditation on emptiness thereafter they engage in the practices of ethical conduct and generosity and patience and so forth in order to accumulate the merit so as to drive forward their progression along these stages of meditation and achieve liberation. So that was the part I missed. And they do so with the intention that having attained liberation from suffering themselves, they will then develop love and compassion to the extent that bodhicitta arises. So that's that first lineage or type of practitioner. Now onto what Kenneth just said, the second lineage or type of practitioner, the way that they differ, perhaps you can say the way they differ as a person or personality, is that their mind is much more courageous. They have a mind of far greater, with far greater inner strength. So their meditation process is very similar. They reflect on the faults of cyclic existence, giving rise to the wish for liberation. They reflect then on the causes that are keeping them bound in the suffering states of samsara, seeing that it's afflicted minds, and that these afflicted minds have as their root cause the ignorance of self-grasping, and then they engage in the meditation on emptiness. And then accompanying these, they also, just like the other practitioner, will develop the minds of ethical conduct, generosity, patience, and so forth, in order to accumulate the merit, to strive them along their path. So that sequence is exactly the same. Here comes the difference. Their goal is not first and foremost their own individual liberation. Their goal is to attain the paths of a bodhisattva, to develop love and compassion, and bodhicitta in their continuum, and continue to strive along the paths of a bodhisattva. So that's where the difference comes between the two. And in terms of maybe you can say them as people, how they differ, is this second type of practitioner has a mind of far greater courage, far greater strength.
Koyo dunga nyemik samda, koyo dunga. Chita dine samda da koyo dunga dele de tab kudu sumbege, ta koyo dunga dele matana de tab minu sumbe samda che, koyo dunga le tarpege tabase tab kudu samda gomgurwa. Dine ge samda adu, dadi digi gara samda gorasne, da rangi dunga dige samda adu, da pa semje le samda, shanda samda, da rangi dunga nasi, marang duba le semje, tamje le koyo dunga, dunga jikpa nga na nyonga na shen semjian tamje le nyonggo res chisa semjian tamje ta rang na shen dunga nga ra dunga mi dupa na kongzo dunga mi dupa re chisa nga dewa dupa na kongzo dewa mi dupa re dewa dupa re ondu chene ta pa semjian shen lewa kapo ya di ta delia yulia jeba che tarba se dine ki tongyu dupa dine jeba ma jeba che tambo koyu dunga nyemi samta sesan koyu dunga samta yote odat koyu dunga ngal dunga na jin shandal chungo shandal dewa dupa da ngal na dunga mi dupa jiba re on dus chene samta su dus samta gore
where we see a difference in their progression through the sequence of meditation. And this difference that comes about due to their more courageous attitude, their strength of mind, is that when they're engaging in the same meditation on the sufferings of samsara, and gaining great clarity of the subtleties of the sufferings of samsara, giving rise to a wish to be liberated from the suffering, then immediately at this point, whilst they've given rise to this wish to liberation based on their own experience of suffering, they turn their attention to others. They turn their attention to others with the recognition that this situation that the meditator is finding herself in is not unique to her, but is shared by all other ordinary beings. All beings long for happiness. All beings long for a state permanently freed from suffering. But yet, despite this wish, they find themselves bound in this prison of samsara. So we see here, before the meditator gets to the meditation on emptiness, already their attention is focused in a powerful way on the actual situation of others. In terms now of the unique steps of meditation that such a practitioner engages in, the very first step is to cultivate the mind of equanimity, or the mind of impartiality. And this mind then of impartiality is where the meditator develops the understanding that there is no valid basis to differentiate or distinguish between beings in terms of which one has been kinder to me, which one has which is a better kind of person or has been better towards me, which is a worse kind of person or worse towards me. There's no valid basis to discriminate between beings in this way, saying that yes, this person or this group of people have shown me great kindness, but not that person or that group of people. So the first step of the meditation is this mind of impartiality, where one overcomes this discrimination between people, but rather develops a sense of closeness to all.
Tanyum Gumgobade Karelana, Marzulia, Semlia, Nirin Shushor, what Oding in Yes, Adelati Kachad, Oding in Chingi, Anachigi, Manzuda, Joshua, Yomara said, Anime, Dining Anzugi, Marzulia, Sosola Pamada, Sosola Gawuda, Sosugi, Nien, the Punjal, Sosu Roche, Natus Robachella, Pandochia, Lelada. So, I think one machine, but Tarum was in it, the Ganga Yuan, so the Robochi two in it, the Robomachi Shasha Yunguru, but then also the Nirling Shuva. Tis a Nirling Yuba, the Nirling D, Mera Sugurma, Nirling Mera Masuna, Simjan, Tama, the Yangan Jugi, Sim D, Pandoche, get some of the two over it. Person, Mansula, Sosule Casada, Sosugi, Nienda, Sosulia, Disulia, Rocheada.
The way we see our lack of impartial attitude towards others is that we have a natural feeling of closeness towards some and distance towards others. And through this lack of impartiality, this closeness to some and distance from others, we see this acted out in that those that we feel a sense of closeness to, our partner, our children, our family, our good friends, we are readily there for them when they need assistance. We are readily there for them when they need protection. Others, the vast majority of beings who we are really just quite indifferent towards, we with great ease ignore their plight, ignore their suffering. We may give their plight a moment of our attention, but that's all. We see the very different reaction to when our loved ones are in need, we are readily there for them. But this is not the case for others. And this shows our lack of an impartial attitude. And if we look at the group of people that we do feel a warmth towards, a closeness towards, even amongst this group, we can see our lack of impartiality in that there are some that we like more than others. And with children, you can often see this. Whilst they certainly will probably be close with both their parents, at times they may prefer one to the other. So even amongst the group that we are closest to, we still discriminate. So this is the first meditation to cultivate bodhicitta, is developing this mind of impartiality. And here we start in a specific sequence, because if we just try and develop an attitude of equanimity to all sentient beings, that is too difficult. We need to start with those that we already feel close to, and remove any form of impartiality within this group, coming to see that all those that we are currently close to, such as our family, are equally kind to us, are equally dear to us. And once we have gained some skill in this, we can then expand that circle slightly further to those in our community, and slowly over time expand it further to a larger group that we feel an affinity towards, or that we feel a belonging towards, perhaps our nation state, and eventually we can extend it to all human beings, and then at the final stage extend it to all sentient beings, humans, animals, and unseen beings. But we only get to developing an impartial attitude to all sentient beings through progressing through this sequence. When hearing about this need for impartiality, it's very usual for some doubt to arise, because if we look at our life's experience, there is a very clear difference between how some people relate to us, in that some really have been kind to us in this life, for example our parents, and others have caused us harm, and perhaps are causing us harm. And then what about strangers? These people that I don't even know, that I see on the street or elsewhere in the world, how can I feel a similar sense of closeness to them as I do perhaps to my children? And what about animals? Fish in the sea. How does one feel an equal sense of closeness to them? It can seem quite ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. ええ、なんで、セディパマでランガズギャチケ、ローチンガズペンバルコランガズインチェゴロ。でね、なんがとんごマシンバだ。なんごシンビナソスリアン、ジンマガワシン、ニョビジンディギリア、チガンズ、サムタウェナ。ディソ、ディニギミディギダンガとんごマシンミディギ、セデルヤンガズチェワヤマラゴシンゴマレ。イナカシーガズルビキディ、セデルニゴディナ。ジョウガマラヤンガズギ、ナズリア、ダテ アマンハシンチネガツリアパンドシアダガツリアゴブチネチゴブチャデュアレ。チェダンダダンガツリアゴブユチアマディギギウガツロロバチアマディギパマディギヤワンガマディレチチネガツモマシンワラチダディネギエンチゲソソリアマガワチティユンコレ。チェダンディネエンザチギチデレパンドゴレパンドワレチギセンガマルパンドワレチェダンヤワンガマパンドバダダデパンドワイパンドワイビチバレガシマドチバレエソラ。チェダンペンダンガツロ
ロンガマディリア、ミチギ、マラトリア、ロバカンアジュデカ、ロバシペ、ヤゴチェ。ロンガマディワ、ジョス、ソソラ、マガワシュウジヘニナ、ヤハドロデリア、ソソチョムチャージ、ソソリア、ロバチェリア、チャワネ、ディニディ、チワラワシュウ、ジギディ、ロンガマディ、ロバチェバ、ジギディ、ロバチェバレ、ジナ、ディニゲ、ロバチェバ、ミチバチェギド、ナチェマド、チバレ、ディナシンアンジュギ、ガネスサムダウェネ、シムチン、ガネシネ、ギョウガマガマリアントリア、パントチェディアレス、ジェザ、セディ、パントチェディア、ギョウガマディワ、パントチェディア、チビチギアレ、パントチェバ、ジバレ、ナチェマド、ニパントチェバ、ジバレ、ジェザ、ディニザ、マントリア、ニリンスカヨマレ attitude of equanimity towards all beings. So we start out with recalling the kindness that we have been shown in this life. And we can relate to our parents, to our loved ones in our family right now, to our friends, those that are helping us right now, those who have shown us kindness and support and care in previous years. And we recall the kindness that these people have shown us. We feel a sense of appreciation and gratitude for what they have done for us. And with, when we have this feeling of appreciation and gratitude for the kindness that others have shown us, then we can ask ourselves the question, considering that this is not anyone's first life, surely others have shown me similar kindness in past lives. Just like I've had, for example, in this life, parents who've shown me kindness, so too in previous lives. Just like I've had friends who've helped me and supported me in difficult times, so too in previous lives. Just like I've had strangers help me in difficult times in this life, so too have strangers in a previous life helped me. So therefore, what we can point to is that yes, in this life I can recall this person, that person, they have helped me. But I would have been helped in similar ways, been shown kindness in similar ways by others in previous lives. And those others in previous lives, I have no idea who they were. I have no way of recalling that. They may well be strangers around me. In fact, the strangers to me in this life, I would have had to have known in previous lives due to this continuity of rebirths. So those who are strangers to me in this life, past lives, our relationship would have been very different. And they would have shown me a kindness similar to what others are showing me in this life. And this process is the same with enemies. With those who've caused us harm in this life, those we aren't getting on with in this life. That may be our relationship right now, but that is all it is, our relationship right now. It hasn't always been like that in this life, and it certainly wasn't in past lives. So here we're coming to see that the only difference is a difference not of the relationship that we have between groups of people, or this person and that person, but it's just a passage of time. Some have shown me tremendous kindness and support in the past week, some a few years ago, some when I was young, and the others would have at varying points in previous lifetimes. The only difference is the passage of time, and it's only due to the passage of time and the taking of rebirth that our memory of that is lost. And we can take actual illustrations from your own lives to make this clear. So when you're younger, perhaps school age, you would have had perhaps a teacher or others who were a mentor to you, an inspiration to you, and served fulfilled a very beneficial role in your life when you're younger. And now for many years you haven't seen them. And you have other people in your life now who care for you and support you and help you. And you'd point to the one who's caring for you and supporting you now, and that is their role. But so too was this other person 20 or 30 years ago. But you can't say, oh, the one who's helping me now is so much kinder than the one who was helping me before, because that was before and therefore doesn't matter. The passage of time is irrelevant. You point to both, and it's clear they've shown you kindness. Mm-hmm. And then you relate this to our previous lives. And we see this, the all that changes is a passage of time. In this meditation on partiality, we're striving to abandon this feeling of closeness to some and distance from others. Through this process of seeing that there really is no valid basis for saying, this is a person who shows me tremendous kindness, and that is a person who never has. There is no valid basis for this. And the way we come to this understanding is through analytical meditation, through meditation based on reasons, such as just has been given, and also thinking that, for example, the help that someone is giving me or has given me is a great kindness. That type of help is not unique to them. Many people help each other in this way. And the situation in which I needed help wasn't unique. There are such situations many people experience. And both of those are true in this and previous lives. And therefore, I would have been helped by others in a similar way. I would have been in a similar situation in previous lives and would have needed such help and would have received it. And we use these reasons and many others to keep overcoming this mind of distance to some and closeness with others. And when we're struggling to develop this mind of impartiality, we need to investigate further. It's on the basis of ever more reasoning that we gain more certainty of this close relationship that we actually have with each and every being. Until we start to feel a sense of affinity, of closeness with all, as if we all are close relatives together.
Rangi Pamachi Nyongwa Dene Ki Samtang Gom Kure Jere.
we've developed a sense of closeness to all, then we take this a little further to the next step, where we remind ourselves that in this life, of course, we have parents. That's not unique to me, and it's not unique to this life. In each and every preceding life, since beginningless time, I would have had parents. I would have had a father and a mother who cared for me. And no matter what life form I was born into, I would have had parents who cared for me. So whilst I can point to my parents in this life, in my previous life and each life previous to that, I had parents. It's just this passage of time disturbed by the rebirth process that prevents me from identifying them. But in reality, this relationship of parent and child, I share with each and every being without exception. The first step of this unique part of the meditation was impartiality. The second step we've just looked at was to remind ourselves of this intimate relationship we have with each and every sentient being. So the first step was to bring a sense of closeness and affinity with all beings. And the second step takes us even further, realizing that we have the relationship of parent and child with each and every sentient being. Now the third step is to recall the kindness that others show us. And we start here by recalling the kindness of those who cared for us and raised us in this life, which usually would be one's parents. And all of us, of course, we were born from our mother. And our mothers, from the moment they were aware of our conception, they cared for us. We had no means of protecting ourselves when we were in our mother's womb. But she would have taken great care in her physical activities, in what she ate and drank, her movements and so forth. Always aware of this precious life inside of her. And then from the moment we were born from her, and she heard us cry, then joy would have arisen within her at our mere existence. And then when we continued to be completely vulnerable, When we had no means to protect ourselves, we were totally reliant on our parents' kindness to care for us and ensure no harm came to us. And as we grew up and we aged and we had a little bit more ability, then our parents continued to care for us. And the way they cared for us would have always been in accordance with their capacity. But in accordance with their capacity, they tried to bring the very best for us that they could. And this is the case in this life, and we can all look back at our experiences and see this. And it was the same in each and every previous life. In all our previous lives, we had parents caring for us, whether we were humans or not. In previous lives, when we would have been an animal such as a bird, our parents, before we were born, would have, with great difficulty, they would have made their nest somewhere that they would have hoped to be safe, that they could care for their eggs, and then they would have guarded their eggs. And we see at this time of the year the birds trying to protect their nests from people walking along. So in the same way, in our previous lives, we would have been cared for just like that. And this is a relationship, as we've just seen in the previous step, this relationship of being cared for by others, we have with all beings. There's no being that one can point to with any vague certainty and say, we do not have this relationship. Each and every life we had parents, and those parents cared for us in accordance with their abilities, in particular when we were at our most vulnerable. So this then is the third step of the meditation, the recollection and the kindness that others show us. The second part of this third point of the meditation is when we've generated a sense of appreciation that our mothers, our parents have shown us, or those who raised us have shown us, as well as reflecting that this has been the case throughout our lives. We then take our attention and we make it somewhat broader when we reflect on the others who have shown us great kindness in this life. And at many stages in our life, really continuously, people have directly have aided us, have assisted us in various ways. The easiest to recall are the varying teachers who have guided us and helped us develop all the skills we have. Because all the qualities that we can point to within ourselves have come about in dependence on the kindness of others. And this is important to be clear on. Because no matter how successful an entrepreneur one may be, if one thinks that one has achieved this great success due to my innate qualities, this is a mistake. All of our good qualities have been achieved in dependence on the kindness of others. We only need to think a little bit and we can start to see that this is true. And when we investigate more deeply, we'll see that we are surrounded by beings who assist us, who aid us indirectly. All the material possessions we have, the food we eat and enjoy, this all comes about in dependence on others. We are not self-sufficient, independent people. We are completely dependent on others. And in this way, others both directly and indirectly continuously show us kindness. Again, with this point, the way that one gives rise to this conviction of the this relationship with others, and the kindness that they show us, is through doing this meditation repeatedly over a sustained period. And this meditation, again, like the others, needs to be based on reasons. When one is struggling to give rise to an emotional response to an experience of the kindness of others, one needs to employ further reasoning. Because it's based on reasoning that one comes to gain conviction. One comes to see the validity that beings show us kindness directly, indirectly, throughout our lives. So in dependence on engaging in this meditation successfully, one can move to the fourth step. Because now when we have seen in that third step just how all beings are kind to us, we already have a sense of closeness to others and an awareness of the intimate relationship we have with others, and now it's apparent just how kind beings are to us directly and indirectly, we then naturally think, these are beings who have shown me so much kindness, but they are in the same position as me. They desire happiness, but they are suffering. They desire to be free of problems and difficulties, but they have no idea how to achieve such a state and just keep accumulating further causes for suffering. Here then, a strong feeling arises to repay the kindness of others. Those who have shown us so much kindness directly and indirectly throughout this and previous lives, here the natural wish arises to help these suffering beings, to help them attain freedom from suffering. Here we come now to the fifth step of this meditation. So we've now given rise to the wish to repay the kindness of others. So then, in dependence on that, naturally the thought will be, how can I repay their kindness? What is it that sentient beings desire most for me. And it's not anything material. What all beings want, just like ourselves, is happiness, is freedom from pain and suffering. So recognizing that sentient beings desire happiness, here we generate the wish. May this be all sentient beings ever experience. May they give rise to this state of lasting, stable peace. And this is the mind of love, the wish. May all beings experience only happiness. Knowing that happiness is only achieved in dependence on causes and conditions, not in dependence on just a mere aspiration. Knowing that the causes have to be accumulated in order to achieve happiness, the thought then develops further. May all sentient beings experience only happiness. May they attain the causes for happiness. And then thirdly, following from this, one takes it as one's responsibility to strive to accumulate the causes for happiness on behalf of all sentient beings. So here, one, in order to repay the kindness of others, one generates the wish, may they experience only happiness. May they cultivate the causes for happiness. I, myself, will strive to accumulate the causes of happiness on their behalf. Then we move to the sixth step here of this unique part of the meditation, and that is with the recognition that for beings to experience lasting happiness, they have to be free of suffering, because if their happiness is punctuated by even a moment of suffering, they aren't abiding in lasting, stable peace. So here we give rise to the wish, may all sentient beings be freed from suffering. And this wish is the mind of compassion. And here we reflect back to the very first step of this meditation, where we reflected on the sufferings of samsara. And we recall here that these sufferings that we meditated on earlier and were only objects of our meditation, these are the objects of experience of beings now throughout psychic existence. They are suffering in these very ways, from illness, from pain, from their afflicted minds. In so many ways, beings are suffering right now. And here we give rise to the strong overbearing wish, may all beings be freed from all forms of suffering, both coarse as well as subtle.
Gyudan kien xian le tuen de zhu ba ma, ta gang le tuen ba rang yun de zhu bi, Tungpa-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-ch
Then, in the same point of meditation, we remind ourselves of where we started earlier, which was having reflected on suffering, we reflected at the beginning of our meditation on the causes of suffering. Here we remind ourselves that all suffering that beings are experiencing has come about in dependence on causes, and those causes are the afflicted minds. And those afflicted minds too have come about in dependence on causes, particularly the cause of the ignorance of self-grasping. And that is what needs to be eliminated. And here we now engage in the meditation on emptiness, as we've had described before. And we engage in the meditation on how does the self appear, and then we investigate seeking that self, coming to realize emptiness, as been explained before. And so this meditation that we are engaging in here, on emptiness, we are doing on behalf of all sentient beings. We are doing on behalf of all sentient beings in the sense of, in order for sentient beings to be freed of suffering, they have to meditate on and realize the emptiness of inherent existence, and I will do that for them. I will do that on their behalf. And this is similar to the previous step where we meditated on love. We gave rise to the aspiration, may all sentient beings be freed from suffering, experience lasting happiness. May they have the causes for happiness, and I will accumulate those causes for them. And that leads us to engaging in the mental trainings, developing the meditations of ethics and joy, generosity and patience and joyous perseverance, which are the causes of happiness. So we, on behalf of others, will accumulate the causes of happiness for others. And here, we are now eliminating the causes of suffering on behalf of others. So this then is the boundary, the dividing point between this unique meditation and what we heard earlier, for those who choose to rather attain their liberation, their own liberation, first. So here the meditator is moving into the seventh step of the meditation. So they now, through having meditated on ignorance and meditated on emptiness, coming to see that the self does not exist in the way that it appears. It's empty of existing in the way that it appears. They've come to an understanding or a realization of emptiness. They've developed a wisdom realizing emptiness. And with this, they know with certainty that the mind that grasps at the self as existing in the way that it appears is a mind of ignorance. It is a wrong consciousness. And it therefore, being a wrong consciousness, it can be abandoned. And it can be abandoned through the continued cultivation of the mind that has just been meditated on, just been cultivated, this wisdom realizing emptiness. This understanding, this conviction, leads to a great strength of mind arising, because the yogi now knows with certainty that the cause of suffering can be abandoned. And therefore, freedom from suffering can be attained. And this leads to an incredible strength of mind, a confidence, knowing, I can do this. I can do this. And here, bearing in mind that this understanding that I can do this has been conjoined with these previous minds of love and compassion, where one has committed to train in order to benefit others, to cultivate the causes of happiness for others, to eliminate the causes of suffering for others. Now we know, I can do this. I can do this. And this leads to a great strength of mind that I can do this, meaning I can lead others to these same realizations and beyond. I can guide others so that they can give rise to minds of love and compassion and wisdom. I can do this. And this strength of mind is the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, the mind of special intention, where one takes it as one's own personal responsibility, the welfare of others. That others are still suffering, that is my responsibility to resolve. And I can do that. That others desire to be led to a state of lasting happiness, this is possible, and it's possible for me to do that. So this incredibly courageous and powerful mind has come about in dependence on reasoning, analytical meditation, being done repeatedly over a sustained period, leading to this transformative experience. And this is the mind of the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility. And one here has a great clarity of mind that the path is attainable for oneself, and therefore we do have the ability to lead others to enlightenment. And this courageous mind is the mind of universal responsibility. then independence and this altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, one now naturally goes to the next step, the mind generating the mind of bodhicitta. And this comes about spontaneously or naturally, in that we can maybe explain this through an analogy. If someone is drowning in a river, you see them, you want to help them, but if you lack the skill, what to do? You can't jump into a fast-flowing river if you can't swim or you can't swim well enough. But if you have developed those skills, you can swim and you're fit and you're strong, and even a fast-flowing river is not an impediment, then one without a moment's hesitation can dive in and help the suffering person. So similarly to this, with this overwhelming wish to be of benefit to others, and having confidence that this is possible, but also knowing that right now I do not have the skills to help and guide beings skillfully in accordance with their own individual personalities, I need to become such a skilled guide. I need to become a guide who knows, who has perfected all good qualities and completely eradicated all faults, and thereby can help beings in the very best way, very best way in accordance with their abilities. And who can do this? Only a Buddha. It's only a Buddha who has attained the state of transcendence, the state of perfection. And now here, one gives rise to the wish that I will strive to become a perfect being, a being which is the most skilled of guides. And I will strive wholeheartedly to become a Buddha for one reason alone, in order to liberate others from suffering, in order to guide others in achieving their own enlightenment. And this is the mind of bodhicitta, where one commits to striving for Buddhahood in order to lead others to cultivate their own enlightenment. And this mind is a mind of incomparable power. With such a mind present, no problem is insurmountable. All problems can easily be transformed and overcome because of our certainty that problems can be overcome and the final goal of Buddhahood can be achieved.
This mind of incomparable beauty, this mind of bodhicitta, this
doesn't come about causelessly, doesn't come about through just the cause of a mere aspiration. It comes about independent on the cultivation of these specific causes in a specific sequence. So the first cause to be cultivated is a reflection on suffering, on the causes of suffering. So that's where we started, and that was part of the common presentation to that's common with other lineages or types of meditators. One starts there with suffering and the causes of suffering. And then, in dependence on that understanding, one moves to the first step of the unique path of the Bodhisattva, which is to cultivate the mind of impartiality, overcoming this feeling of closeness to some and distance from others, but rather coming to see that there's no valid basis to discriminate between some and others, and rather developing a sense of closeness, a sense of affinity to all sentient beings, not dependent on what one is aware that they have done for oneself now, but just on the basis of our stream of lives and connections, one realizes that everyone that is around me, everyone that I encounter and even don't encounter, I have a relationship of closeness with them. They are all like my family. So this is the first step of the unique path of the Bodhisattva, is to develop the mind of impartiality. The second comes about independence on that. When seeing this relationship that we have with others, we remind ourselves that just like in this life, that we had parents who cared for us. In each and every other previous life, we had parents. And and this is the case whether we're born as humans or as other type of being. So this close and intimate relationship we have with beings is something shared with all. In that, with each and every being, we've had the relationship of parent and child. And the strength of this understanding comes about independent on the strength of the mind of impartiality. The stronger that realization is, the more readily the understanding of the intimacy of a relationship that we share with all beings. And then independence on these two understandings, the third meditation, that on the kindness of others, more easily comes about. And here we start by reflecting on the kindness that we have been shown by our parents in this life and those who brought us up. And then we expand this ever, ever broader, coming to see just how many beings have directly helped us, that all our good qualities have come about in dependence on others. And we take that ever further, seeing that it's not just those who directly and explicitly help us, but those many who indirectly help us, who provide for us. Here we develop a sense of appreciation that from life, throughout our stream of lives, beings, or this vast array of beings, help us. Here we develop a strong sense of appreciation for and gratitude for the kindness that others show us. And in dependence on the strength of this mind, the following meditation naturally comes about. And that is the wish to repay the kindness of others. So with all of these meditations, there's this relationship of dependency that the one becomes a cause for the next, which becomes a cause for the next. And the stronger the cause is, the stronger will be the result, and thereby the easier the next mind comes about, the more, and not just the easier, but the more powerful the resulting mind will be. So when you develop and come to the point of having reflected on the kindness of all beings, then the wish to repay that kindness comes. And this wish will arise in a very powerful way in dependence on having seen the kindness of others. And then we reflect on how best can I repay that kindness? What is the greatest of gifts others desire from me? And that is happiness. More than anything, beings long for happiness, for mental peace, for a state that's undisturbed by any pain or difficulty or trouble at all. We generate the wish here, may all beings experience only happiness. May all beings accumulate the causes for happiness, I myself will do so. And here we engage in the meditations on generosity and ethics and so forth, cultivating the causes for happiness and offering those to others. And then in dependence on the strength of this mind of love, we remind ourselves that for beings to achieve this longed-for state of lasting, stable happiness, they have to be completely freed of suffering and the causes of suffering. Here we generate the mind of compassion, which is the wish, may others be freed of suffering. May others eliminate the causes of suffering. I myself will do so. And here, on behalf of others, we engage in the meditation on emptiness, as we've had described several times. Independence, then, on this meditation on our emptiness, when we come to realize that no phenomenon exists in the way that it appears. All phenomena are empty of inherent existence. We come to realize emptiness, we come to realize selflessness. And independence on that realization, we know that the path is possible. We know that freedom is possible because we know that the cause of our bondage is a wrong consciousness, is an ignorance, and can be destroyed by this very mind we've just developed in meditation. And with this great confidence and courage, in dependence on that, we take it as our personal responsibility to guide beings from their current state of suffering to a state of lasting happiness. We take it as our responsibility to guide beings in developing the causes of happiness within their own continuums. We take it as our responsibility to guide beings to eliminate the causes of suffering in their continuums. And this is the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, the seventh step in this unique part of the meditation. And then from this, dependent on the strength of this courageous mind, we commit to becoming a being who can take this powerful aspiration and turn it into a reality. We make the commitment to become a being who actually does have the skill to guide beings in accordance with their own unique personality. And the only being who can do that is a being with an omniscient consciousness, a consciousness where all good qualities are perfected and all faults completely eradicated. And here we commit to striving for Buddhahood in order to lead all sentient beings, to guide all sentient beings to develop their own enlightenment. So what we see here is that this result of bodhicitta comes about in dependence on the specific sequence of causes, one in dependence on the other. The bodhicitta too is a dependence arising, dependence on causes and conditions. And the stronger we cultivate the causes through repeated habituation, the stronger the results will be. Having given rise to the mind of bodhicitta, the commitment to become a Buddha for the sake of others, then the bodhisattva now engages in the actual activities of a bodhisattva, the meditations of a bodhisattva, the six perfections. So here they engage in the cultivation of the minds, of the practices that bring about their desired result, the result of enlightenment. And they meditate on ethical conduct, on generosity, on patience, on joyous perseverance, on concentration, and on wisdom, motivated by bodhicitta, in order to become a Buddha, so as to guide sentient beings to attain their own enlightenment. So these six practices of ethics and so forth, we've heard in several different contexts. What makes it unique in the context of a bodhisattva is that they are conjoined with bodhicitta, and therefore those same practices become causes for enlightenment, or are the causes for enlightenment. If bodhicitta hasn't been developed, those same practices lead to liberation from samsara, but not to bodhicitta. It's only when conjoined with bodhicitta that those same practices have the power to lead to enlightenment. Further context we've heard about these practices is that if one engages in the practices of ethical conduct, of generosity, of patience, joy, perseverance, and concentration, but not with wisdom, not with bodhicitta, then those become the causes for good rebirth, a rebirth as a god or as a human. And the reason they are the causes for good rebirth but not for liberation is because wisdom is not cultivated. And the reason they are not causes for enlightenment is because bodhicitta as well as wisdom is not included. This afternoon, then, we've looked at the correct sequence to engage in to develop this mind of incomparable beauty, this mind of bodhicitta. And we've also spoken in the previous session how to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness. And we've seen with both of these results or goals, that of the mind of bodhicitta, as well as the wisdom that realizes emptiness, both of these are dependent arisings. They come about in dependence on causes and conditions. And those causes and conditions are the cultivation or the meditation of a correct sequence of meditations or practices. So it's through the continued cultivation of all of these meditations in the specific sequence that one attains the result, bodhicitta, the wisdom realizing emptiness, and enlightenment itself. So the key points to understand here is the sequence, these sequences, and that they need to be engaged in or trained in repeatedly over a sustained period. And through doing so, through meditating on the basis of this knowledge, one's virtuous mind, these various steps of the meditation, grow in strength. As one becomes more habituated to these minds, they grow in strength. And this means our progression towards enlightenment grows ever faster. So we'll conclude here for today, and then tomorrow we will look at another method to achieve bodhicitta, and that is that of equalizing and exchanging self with others. Thank you.